This is a wonderful statement of Jesus Christ. It's found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Have you ever been weary? Duh. Have you ever been burdened? Double duh. If you listen carefully, you can almost hear Elvis Presley crooning, oh, well, I'm tired and so weary, and I must travel on till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Tommy Dorsey wrote that song. He wrote it in the 1930s, and the title of it is Peace in the Valley. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. How many of you know it? How many of you believe it? Here's a bit of trivia about that song. Tommy Dorsey himself said this: I wrote that song just before Hitler sent his war chariots into Western Europe. I was on a train going through southern Indiana, and I saw horses and cows and sheep all grazing together in a little valley. Everything seemed so peaceful. It made me question, what is the matter with mankind? Why can't men live in peace? Good question. And the answer, of course, is sin. Because of sin, you get weary, you get tired, and you get burdened, and more. Sometimes you just want to throw in the towel. Ever been there? What is your go-to remedy when you feel that way? For a lot of people, the go-to remedy is a bottle of pills. And for some, it's a bottle of booze. Chuck Swindoll said this: the Lord does not promise to give us something to take so that we can handle our weary moments. He promises us himself. That is all. And that is enough. End quote. Come to me. Come to me, Jesus said. Come to me. All of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is what Isaiah said about our Lord in chapter 40, beginning in verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. That is the person who offers you the real remedy for your weariness. Verse 29, continuing, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? How many of us can run or walk without assistance anymore? It just sounds too good to be true. Folks, this room is filled with people who need to hear these words, but more than hear them, believe them, embrace them, memorize them, commit them to your life. It's a promise of God. He said it, and his son offers you his divine remedy for whatever ails you. Now, here's something about what that may be, whatever ails you. What maybe is making you so tired and so weary? Well, let's ask ourselves something. When Jesus said, "Come to me, you who are weary and burdened," to whom was he speaking? He was speaking to a lot of people. But among those people, he was speaking to the religious, Orthodox Jews. Their lives had like a daily commercial that was flashing around them like on a screen in Palestine, and it shouted, "Thou shalt not! Thou shalt not!" That's a lot of pressure, isn't it? A lot of pressure. Let me remind you part of what Jesus said about those men in Matthew 23, beginning in verse 3. Do not do what they do. Do not do what they do. For they do not practice what they preach. I imagine he was pointing to them at that moment. I imagine that the people could vividly see exactly what he was saying. Look at those Jews. Do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders. That was another colorful way to describe the burdens of religiosity. Jesus was confronting them because of their worship, their style of worship, what they thought worship was all about. For them, they thought worship was striving to fulfill the law. What a burden that would be. I would hate that. Jesus could very easily turn the spotlight on any contemporary Christian today, however, and say something very similar about people, Christians, who are constantly striving to please him. Is that you? Are you constantly striving to please him? So many Christians have notches on their belts because of the number of Bible studies that they are involved in or they've attended in their lives, because of the number of times they've sung in the choir, because of the number of Sunday school classes that they've taught, because of the missionaries that they support outside of the church. They worship their religious activities. So many Christians feel that they do not measure up to God's expectations, so they become tired and they become weary from striving and striving to be holy. And Jesus was speaking to those people who desperately try to find God, desperately try to be good, desperately try to overcome the frustrations that they feel because the task is so hard. Is that you? You do not have to be desperate, brothers and sisters. You do not have to be desperate. Jesus offers you rest. Do you remember this anonymous poem? If you hold your nose to the grindstone rough and hold it down there long enough, you'll soon forget there are such things as books that babble and birds that sing. These three things will your world compose, just you and a stone and your darned old nose. When Jesus was giving this invitation to the people, to the Jews, they heard something in it that you and I probably would miss. You see, they were surrounded by deserts. There were no truck lanes. There were no railroads. How did they get things? They got them by caravans. Long caravans would come from camp to camp, bringing the provisions. And those camels did not need gasoline. Those camels did not need to plug in their electric cars. What they desperately needed was water. What those people desperately needed was water. So here is what they did. The leader of the caravan would send one man on a camel out into the distance. He'd wait a few minutes, and then he would send a second guy on a camel to follow him into the distance. And a few minutes later, another, and a few minutes later, another. And finally, when the first rider found water, before he would stoop and drink it, he would turn around and say, "Come!" And the next guy would turn around and say, come. And pretty soon the wilderness was filled with this word of hope. Come. Jesus said, come. And they knew exactly what he was saying. All my life I've heard it read by pious pulpiteers. Come unto me. Haven't you? Come. I believe Jesus was imitating what they knew very well all the time in his teaching. And I suspect he shouted it. Come to me, all you who are thirsty, and I will give you rest. Rest is a vital principle in the Bible. We know that. It's summarized in the word Sabbath. We know that too. I like what Bill Hybels said. He said, no one can become an authentic Christian on a steady diet of activity. No one can become an authentic Christian on a steady diet of activity. So there is some responsibility placed on you and me here. We need to be wise about our steady diet of activity. If you are weary and burdened, possibly some of it is your fault. You brought it on yourself. Regardless of whose fault it is, we need rest. We need it. Jesus said, come, I will give you rest. How does that work? Well, when you come to Jesus, you connect with God. When you come to Jesus, you connect with God. Connecting with God does not come only by attending church. That's not enough. Jesus did not say, the church will give you rest. As a matter of fact, the church gives me the opposite. And it probably has given many of the rest of you the opposite in those long years of serving in the church. Judy's agreeing. She's over there. She's good. He said, I will give you rest. Rest is in him. It is in him alone. You come to him. You commit to him. You communicate with him. You connect with him. And you commune with him. You come. You commit. You communicate, you connect, and you commune with God. All of those are active verbs, brothers and sisters. Active verbs. The responsibility is on you, it's on me. And they lead to rest. Jesus went further. He used another expression that was very familiar to the Jews and all the people around him. He said in Matthew 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, I'm not a farm boy, but I have read about yokes. And no, I'm not talking about eggs. I'm talking about those wooden things that the farmers would carve it with two loops, and they would put them on the animals in many parts of the world, and at that time, mostly on oxen. I have seen those. Have you seen yoked animals working together? The farmer fits the loops on them or on other animals for one primary reason, and that is it forces the oxen to work together. It forces them to work together. And that's something that you and I know and we need to renew in our hearts and in our minds. We are the church. We are the family. We need to work in harmony. We are not loners here. We are together people here. We are we. We are not me. Now that wooden yoke became a symbol of submission. Something that the Orthodox Jews understood very well because they had four expressions that they used using that word yoke. They talked about the yoke of the law, the yoke of the commandments, the yoke of the kingdom, the yoke of God. All of those were reminders to them that they were called to be submissive, to be submissive in order to please God. Sometimes, however, the farmer used the yoke in a different way, and I really like this. Sometimes he might have a wild donkey on his hands who was always kicking and spitting and screaming. Almost every church I've ever been in has several wild donkeys in it. So he would get one of his gentle oxen, and he would get that wild donkey, and he would put the yoke on the oxen and the yoke on the donkey, and then he would send them out into the wilderness for a few days by themselves. And then they would wander home, and you guessed it, when they came home, the donkey had changed his attitude, and he assumed the gentleness of that ox when he came home. Isn't that incredible? There are a lot of immature Christians that need to be yoked to some mature Christians from time to time and learn to rest in the Lord. Be yoked to one another until you get it. Now, if you travel to other parts of the world, especially places like South America and India and Australia, you will often see oxen that are yoked together who are working in the fields on the farms. And here are a few things that you might observe about them. First of all, they know the farmer's voice. Does that sound familiar? They know the farmer's voice. And they only respond to one voice because they serve only one master. And when he calls, those oxen will line up side by side even before the yoke is placed around their necks. And if one ox usually is on the left, he will always go to the left. If one ox is usually on the right, he will always go to the right. And not only that, if an ox is used to working with another particular ox, he will only work with that ox. And they will find one another, and they will stand there side by side. And when the farmer called, and those oxen are approaching the farmer, they bow their heads before him. And they wait. And they wait for the farmer to place the yoke upon them. And then they will not move until the farmer takes his stick and says, "Go." And then they will obey him without questioning. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." We need to know his voice. We need to come when he calls. We need to bow our heads before him. We need to go wherever or whenever he tells us to. You can tell by observing people to what they are yoked. Many people are yoked to their work. Many are yoked to their possessions. Many are yoked to their hobbies. Many are yoked to their entertainment. Do you see yourself in any of those things? You can also tell by observing people to whom they are yoked. Many are yoked to their lover. Some are yoked to their children or their grandchildren or other family members. To whom do you desire to be yoked? Jesus said, "Come to me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." He could have said, "Learn from me because I am wise and powerful," which he is. But he used stronger words. He said, "Gentle, humble." Stronger words than wise and powerful. That makes Jesus even more attractive to me. Does it to you? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How can a yoke be easy? Well, if you look at the literal meaning of the word easy, it means well-fitting. You see, what a good farmer would do when he carved that yoke, he would carve it out of wood for a specific ox so that it fit the neck of a specific animal. Jesus said that the life he has carved for you is well-fitting. It is the life he wants you to have, the life that he wants me to live. He has planned it all. He is in charge of it all. And it fits you perfectly because he carved it. And when you are yoked to him, it fits so perfectly and comfortably that you will find rest in the Lord. Trust him for that. Trust him because the yoke's on you. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, I want to be like those oxen. I want to hear your voice. I want to come when you call. I want to bow before you, and I want to go wherever you send me, whenever you send me. And Lord, I pray that this room will be filled with people who are willing to submit and find their rest in you and not in anything else or anybody else, but find their rest in you. Hallelujah. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.